Nerd Soul.
Yeah, late ill kid at one youngster holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, all year, another wonderful episode of, that's right, movie reviews. I'm going to give you a quick little taste of that Blue Beetle. And when I say quick taste, I mean on the non-spoiler side, then I'll get into some spoilers a little later. So for non-spoiler, I'll say that this is a movie that I really wish Zolo didn't get caught up in this whole, you know, rigmarole with the Hollywood strike, which, don't get me wrong, is necessary. Pay them people their money. But, man, because, oh, he really shines, man. I mean, of course, if you like any of the Cobra Kai stuff, Zolo's cool, man. He's been killing it, doing his thing. So I'm really, really sad to see that we can't, you know, enjoy the film in the way that, you know, we would love to, because, of course, the strike is going on. But this is a movie that I enjoyed. I was entertained. I had a good time with this. There are some things that are paint by numbers, but it is getting, one, a hero that's completely different, a family that's completely different, and definitely what I would consider a non-traditional leading man. And in that, there's a lot of laughs. I got a good amount of laughs. And some heart. Some heart where there was a time when it was a little tight in my throat. I ain't drop a tear now, but I did get a little tight in my throat. So I will say I enjoyed this through and through. I would definitely watch this again. I would watch this over, you know, and over. Like, I had a fun time watching this. I would put this, unfortunately, I know this is all going to be washed away and, you know, the new DC is now coming, so it doesn't really matter. But this movie, as well as Black Adam, are two movies that I've enjoyed from DC that I had a good time. Like I had action. I enjoyed it. There were some laughs in it. And for what I would consider good reason, like this movie is, it really shines through from a leading perspective, letting Zolo do his thing as Jaime Reyes, and letting his family really be that strong support that is extremely relatable. So that's my spoiler-free stuff. So now we're going to talk spoiler stuff. So if you don't want to go ahead, you know what I'm saying, go on and stop that now. Get out of here, you know what I'm saying, because I'm about to spoil it. I'm about to talk freely as if you've seen this. Or you might be like, yo, I ain't going to see that. I'm going to wait till it come out on HBO Max or something. Or I'm going to wait till I can, you know, get my little bootleg on. You know what I'm saying? That internet bootleg. But for those folks that don't care or that have already seen it, man, Susan is, Victoria. Victoria is a piece of work, boy. Like, she's just cruel for the sake of it. Now, I mean, I guess, you know, her dad. I know her dad kind of like ruined her whole plans for the company to be hers. And I know when Jennifer, referencing it to Jaime, I know it's kind of like, oh, well, that was sexist. It's like, nah, maybe it wasn't sexist. Maybe your dad, Ted, was a person of, you know, good standing and, you know, moral character and, you know, foresight. And she was all about using everyone she possibly could to get to a dollar. You know what I'm saying? Now, it just happened to be that Ted was a man and she was a woman. But she, she don't care about nobody. But, and that shows, because we see, you know, the other side where Jenna was, of course, you know, the daughter of Ted Kord. And you see how she's out trying to care about people, trying to make the company about building things, not destroying things. So, you know, it's a good example of someone, I guess, that feels that they should have been the next one to rep. Like, they should have been the you know, in the driver's seat. And maybe rightfully so, you know what I'm saying? Because as the story went, she was there with, you know, Jenna's granddad to, you know, kind of make this company and all that stuff and build it as they were going along and got it to where the promise it was at. So there is that side, but maybe granddad got to a certain point and was like, you know what? I don't want to make weapons and stuff no more. I don't want to be about killing people. I mean, of course he's not here for us to know. So, I mean, you know, maybe that's why he didn't choose her, but I can see her legitimate beef of like, hey, I was here laying the groundwork and all of the, you know what I'm saying, aforementioned things that needed to be done. And now I'm not the one to be in control. Like, I can see how anyone could be angry about that. Literally just walking over people. I don't know if I could do that, but I can see where she has like a legitimate, you know, gripe with just the rest of the Cord family. And she kind of lets that be known towards the end. One thing where I think this movie shines is the family. I referenced it before. I really like when these superhero films or media, because I like the family in Ms. Marvel as well. I like when, at least from my perspective, because it's kind of hard. I can see you, I guess, fooling people that don't know you, but like your family, it's like, yo, they know you a superhero, bro. It's like, yo, bro, like, look, you said you had to go somewhere. Then I look on the news and like, yo, it's you. But I like how they were there and they loved him and they supported him and they never made him feel like he was a freak. And his sister is funny, man. Like, straight up, like, old girl is a trip. Like, she homegirl was like, she cut you to the quick, boy. And even though George Lopez is whack, he's still whack, but he works in this movie as the kind of wacky, weird uncle, because, you know, even though he gets knocked out by the, you know, by the, I guess the blast from the original, you know, suit up from the Blue Beetle, even though, you know, the taco truck gets the tailgate blown off, he is that kind of relatable, wacky uncle that, you know, you kind of, you love him, but he's definitely someone that you have to give a disclaimer for whenever they visit. Like, all right, look, this is my uncle. You know, hey, look, he be wildin', but, you know, he aight. You know, that kind of thing. And the mother, the grandma, and even his dad being that, like, wisdom, even after the attack on the house, and we think that, you know, we're not going to see the father again. You know, he's already had a heart attack, and we think we're not going to see him again. And the moment, I'd say the moment when he's kind of not, when he, meaning Jaime, is kind of knocked out and you see him struggling to connect with the Beetle the whole time, having that kind of like, I guess, one-on-one chat with his father. And I think that was the third one. I think he had two previous chats, but having those one-on-one chats with his father really gave him an opportunity to kind of reassure himself of not only his inner strength, but the surrounding strength from his family, the family that wants to love and protect him and also push him further, you know, and support him. And we get that in the end fight where he's like, you know, you say my love for family is weakness, you know, it's what makes me stronger. And it can. Unfortunately, your family can tear you down too, but we ain't here for that right now. That conversation is for later. Right now, it's how your family can get behind you and cheerlead you and push you forward and support you and, you know, chip in a dollar or two when you need it. Those kind of things, you know, because we see this family that's kind of like working class, you know, on the wrong side of the tracks, and they get a chance to look at the opulence of, was it Pan America City or something like that? I can't remember the name of the city. Please excuse me. But that view of a family is something that I really enjoy from not only this movie, but also Ms. Marvel. And I'd love to get more of it. You know, to see families that aren't completely aloof and in the dark, but families that are like I know kind of what you do. And not only do I know what you do, but I want you to go and be great, you know, kill it, do your thing, you know, step up, you know, just fly, you know what I'm saying? You know, take off, you know what I'm saying? And speaking of families, we talked about the crazy uncle and his sister, man, his grandma, yo, abuela, you know, Nana, man, look, Nana come through, look, she blasting everybody, boy. Like, I mean, you saw a little bit in the trailer where she was holding the gun, but nah, bruh, Yo, shorty doo-wop got a past, all right? She ain't gonna tell you about that past. She done, look, she gave her life to Christ, you know what I'm saying? She changed that, but like, for a little bit, she might have to just repeal that Bible a little bit, pull that back and just get busy, do what she gotta do. You know what I'm saying? You go to, you gotta hold a Bible and a rifle, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. But her being that kind of emotional crutch really helped, especially when the family had to pull together. And I enjoyed it. The main part I enjoyed about this movie was the family, man. The family really holds this together. There are things that about this film that are kind of like, you can sort of expect. This script has been written before, but I think that the family aspect is what shines for me and, you know, kind of draws me in. And also having the lead not be this guy that is afraid of his, maybe not afraid, maybe afraid is not the term, but someone who's not, you know, I guess timid about their powers. When he completely bonds, he meaning Jaime, sorry, when Jaime completely bonds with Kaji, it gets very enjoyable. It's cool seeing him kind of like, you know, just fully embody all his powers, what he can do, and really just exude the confidence and dare I say swagger as he's fighting against the villains and of course the main villain at the end. And seeing that, you know, that power of love fly through, because when we meet Jaime, he's like, hey, I'm coming home. You know, everything's good. And they got to break it to him like, yo, we about to lose a house. We about to lose a business. You know, we po. So seeing him and his family hold strong together and regardless of the money problems, still be a loving family is something that's beautiful. And you see that be the power he draws on or the energy and inspiration he draws on later in the movie. So I really dug that, man. The family is what throws this over for me. The family is what makes this rewatchable for me. The action sequences were, I think we got more action sequences than I thought we were going to get, but at the same time, I would have liked a little more pizzazz. We got a little something, but I think we pulled back on the fight at Cord Industries. I think we pulled back a little bit on the hallway fight. But with that said, I also understand where Jaime was coming from to Kaji saying like, hey, we aren't killers. So I also understand choreographing something to fit someone who isn't out to, you know, either hospitalize or kill someone, you know what I'm saying? Even though a lot of them dudes is probably paralyzed right now. But I dig the film, man. I dig the history about Cord that we got, either through Victoria's statements to Jenna. I'm so sorry. I didn't already forgot. But Jenny, Jenna, and also Jenna's conversations with Jaime. And then also you get some newspapers and stuff and you get like, okay. So this is something that in kind of a contentious family issue for a while. And I think there's a lot that we can draw on, well, could draw on in the future. They're probably not coming back to this because of course everything's been changed. And now, you know, James Gunn has already kind of given us his roadmap for the future, which I don't really care too much about, but I mean, hey, when I see the trailer, maybe my mind will change. But here, the family issues in Cord, the family love and connection with the Reyeses, I'm like, yo, we got some good stuff going. And then at the end of the film, getting not one, but two post credits, I was like, okay. You know, you get one that's kind of sort of in the Marvel, in the vein of Marvel, where it's like you get one that's serious and you get one that's just like, you know, fun and just being silly. But even the one that's fun and being silly leads or lends itself to possible future incarnations. But I think this is what we're going to get, which I'm not mad about. I'm willing to say, hey, we only got one Blue Beetle movie, but I enjoyed it. And Blue Beetle, like, who would have thought Blue Beetle? We'd have a Blue Beetle movie. But, you know, kudos to DC for not making another Batman film. And not to say, I know the Bat people coming in here, and it's not that I hate Batman. It's just that Batman is overexposed, bro. DC has tons of heroes. Let's hear those stories. But this movie, with the fight scenes that we get, with the family drama that we get, I think there's more to explore in Cord. I think there's more to explore between Jaime and Jenny. I'm sorry. I know I'm messing up her name. But where they're going to go relationship-wise. And I'd love to see, a superhero Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of thing, where she like, yo, I know you're a hero and I'm doing my thing to, you know, make the world better over here, and you're doing your thing to make the world better over there, and we form like Voltron. Well, I mean, it's only two of them, but, you know, like a baby Voltron. But I really dig it, man. I had a lot of fun watching this. I saw it in IMAX, of course, because, you know, I gotta get that visual quality. But I'd say that this one is definitely worth a matinee. If not, I mean, you know, going to get that early Saturday morning viewing that's nice and cheap. You know, when you get like that first showing on Saturday, like 10 a.m. or something, it's only like $6-$7. Going and get that one. You know what I'm saying? If you're on the fence, like, I don't know if I want to spend all that money, cuz then, you know, you can, you know, get that little matinee one. But, you know, I say it's worth it, man. I'm ready to watch it again. This is one that surprised me. I was worried that I wouldn't like it. I wanted Zolo to really have a movie that he could say, hey, I got something and it's good. It's enjoyable. It's got some replay value. It's got a reheat. This is one that I would watch again, definitely. I like this one. This isn't as high octane as Black Adam, but I like Black Adam for different reasons that I like this one. Like in Black Adam, it didn't have any family stuff, but in this one, it has the family vibe that I got some laughs from. And I even got a little, you know, I got a little emotion from. I got a little choked up on it. So kudos to the family. But on the Black Adam side, that's just high octane. Like, dude just was like, here's superhero and WWE, and I'ma slam and smash and punch and flick everybody, fling them all over the place. And I look, the action side of me just loved that. But from DC, Blue Beetle, acceptable, yo. Acceptable. I'm glad I watched this one. I'm glad I came out the house and saw this one. Thank you, DC, for at least doing a little bit right, because y'all been bugging. All right? WB, you and Discovery been tripping. All right? All y'all been tripping. Now, this message for David Zasloff and all y'all peoples. Man, just pay them people so we can go on and get this thing going. There's enough money for all of us. All right? Stop tripping. Pay that money so we can keep this show rolling, man. All right, pay your peoples. But with that said, of course, until the next Scarab, hold up. Also, I like the inkling of the other Scarabs being tossed across the galaxy or the universe as well. So we get, you know, they laid them breadcrumbs out. So I'm like, cool. We saw like the yellow, we saw the red, I think there was a green one that we saw, but we saw like different Scarabs like flying across. So, you know, we've got possibilities. And we also have the OMAC project, which has been on ice before and brought back. So you never know. You never know. Every prototype may not be destroyed. And the OMAC, that OMAC was no joke, bruh. And if someone had like 3, 4, 5 of those, it could be a real problem. So until the next Scarab unites with another host, or basically burns their skin and like goes inside of them and all that stuff, This is from me to you saying, peace. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Also, the body horror. The body horror was crazy in this. Yeah, I wouldn't bring a kid to this because there's some body horror parts that I was like, oh, wow. But I also like that it shows that being a superhero isn't always like super cool. Like getting these powers, I mean, the powers are cool, but maybe the way you first transform or first become might not be the cakewalk you think it is. But with that said, of course, love all y'all. Shouts out to Blurtish, 1 through 3 yards. Shouts to Newton Lillivoy, all y'all, man. Go and do y'all thing. And Milton Davis, man, till I see you next time, peace.